Armando, thank you so very much. And I encourage all of us to encourage Armando in his efforts to step forward when the need arises. He stepped forward to lead us in singing. So he needs our support, and we're most thankful for you. The other thing, a couple of housekeeping things before I begin the message here, is that when I spoke to you earlier, I don't know if you've made note of our bulletin and this very special occasion for our patriarch here at Broadway, Brother Dean Knox. Let me just very briefly take up some of your time to tell you a little bit about. Dean, can you hear me? Do you have that thing in? You got me? John, can you hear me? Okay, good. Very briefly, during Hurricane Ike, my wife and our house was completely destroyed. And that was the reason for us to move to Pflugerville, and as we rebuilt our house. But it was Dean Knox who stepped up and said, "You need me to help you rebuild your house." But fortunately, we didn't need the assistance because we had all the insurance coverages. But that's something that has touched me, and I've remembered ever since then, his generosity. And he's not just been generous with our family, but anyone that's in a need. And as he celebrates his 93rd year, we are most fortunate, Dean, to have you as one of our leaders here and inspiration to all of us. Anybody that's talked to Dean for any length of time will know that he will tell you about his exploits in World War II, as I will about Vietnam. And John's here too, Vietnam. So the veterans, we will tell you exploits. Dean will always tell you about his move from one island to another island during World War II, fighting in the Pacific. Sometimes when he starts to tell you that, what happens is you try to picture these islands. But one of the things that I've always held on to was a memento. I'm going to give this to Dean after service. This globe has been with me a number of years when I explained where I was in the Marine Corps. And Dean tells us his story of where he was in the Navy. With this globe, you're able, Dean, to trek your way to show people from Guam all the way up to Okinawa. You'll be able to show the people there. So I want to present this to you at the service. You're the father to all of us. We love you. Okay. Our lesson today is about forsaking the gathering of the saints. And when I look around in the room now, I think it's quite apropos. We have some empty seats. And there are many people who need to be in those seats. So today's message is one we shared a part of a recent Wednesday night Bible study. And those that were here that Wednesday night, and we talked about forsaking the gathering of the saints. When the call comes out, and the call in prescribed times come for worship, it is incumbent upon each and every one of us. As a matter of fact, it is not only incumbent, it is our duty to come to the meeting. It is our duty to share the word of God. It is our duty and respect for the Lord to attend his assigned services for all of us. Let's introduce a question for you to share with your neighbor seated next to you. If we come to service every Sunday, why should we come on Wednesday nights? And that's open conversation for a minute with somebody sitting to you. If we come on Sunday, is it that we feel that we fulfill our responsibility so when the call comes out for Wednesday night, it's not necessary for us to come? Why do we have that kind of attitude? Anybody want to share that with a neighbor? Okay, I'll share it with you then. In our examination of today's message, we're going to look at a couple of questions and a couple of responses. What are some of the wrong reasons for attending Wednesday evening, and what are some of the right reasons for attending Bible study on Wednesday evening? Scripture submits to us that the number one reason for attending Wednesday service Bible study is to be with Jesus. The number one reason for congregating and gathering is to be with Jesus. It is out of our commitment to our love of the Lord when a meeting is called, it is our responsibility to answer the call. Matthew 18:20 reads, "For where two or more are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So if we know that there's a gathering and Jesus will be present, why on earth would we decide to be absent ourselves? Jesus is discussing what the church can do even when only two or three are gathered or assembled. There's much work that can be done when there are only two or three gathered. If one truly loves Jesus, it is only natural to want to be in his presence. And if we know that there is a meeting taking place and Jesus is present at that meeting, how dare us decide to absent ourselves from that meeting? Another right reason to attend on Wednesday evenings is to find personal peace and satisfaction. Because anytime the saints are gathered together, it should be a place where we are able to relax, able to share our burdens, able to help others carry their burdens, and able to commune with the Lord. To find personal peace and satisfaction, we read in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." What better place to let your requests be known to God than among the saints in a gathering, in worship of the Lord? "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds, through Christ Jesus." We all desire this, especially in the world where peace is becoming very hard to find. It's becoming even more difficult to find peace and solitude in the world today because of so many distractions. Lasting peace is found primarily in Christ Jesus and among his followers. It is a place of respite. It's a refuge, the house of the Lord. It is a refuge that who dare forsake the gathering of the saints? Another right reason to attend on Wednesday Bible classes: to have scripture open to us, to learn more about the word of God. Luke 24 and 45 says that, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." No one knows all there is to know about scripture. So any opportunity to learn more, the only thing it can do is to fortify us better to deal with the world we have to deal with. One reason for our evening Bible service is to increase our knowledge of God's word through teaching, preaching, praying, singing. 2 Peter 3 and 18 reads, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. One time a week won't do it when it's available to you more than once. Psalm 119, 18 reads, "Open my eyes, O Lord, that I may see your wondrous things from your law and from your word." In order to receive the comfort and encouragement which is found in fellowship is another reason to be sure anytime there's a meeting that we're present. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Consider one another to stir up good works and to stir up love amongst us as believers. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 reads, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another," or build one another up. And we do that by assembling with each other. That is the most profitable way to build one another up, is to come into close proximity with each other and maintain that type of brotherhood and sisterhood. Excite and exhort one another. Build each other up. Boost one another. and lend a hand to each other. That is the true definition of a family. We many times pay lip service to the notion of the Christian family. The reason it's lip service, because if it's a family, we care about each other. We care about the stripes others are going through. We care and we want to help. Because that's what a family does. A family continuously tries to help each other. We are to be fed, we are to feed and exercise our faith. Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith has its source, the word of God. And we're to be ever mindful of that. That is not a philosophical proclamation from a preacher. It is the word of God is our guide. By attending evening service, our faith can be increased and strengthened from hearing God's word. The key is to be available and make ourselves available to hear God's word. Because if you're not here, you won't hear. And at some point between the time of the meeting and the next called meeting, you will encounter some issues that requires the wisdom, guidance, and care of the Lord in decision-making, in compassion, in love, in controlling our anger. See, God can help you control your anger because what he says is, I am the peace. I am the source of peace. So many times we say, what comes up comes out. I just blurted it out. No, you didn't. You're making an excuse now for when you know that you should have been speaking as a child of God since you represent God to the world, especially in family, in associations within the congregation, at work, or even at any place that you happen to congregate. You are representing God there. Because we're very quick to tell people, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. And then we do something anti-Christian. And what it can do is cause other people to say, if that's a Christian, I don't want any part of Christianity. So we can be our greatest salesman or the greatest deterrent to being a Christian. A strong faith helps us stand and take the blows that Satan hurls at us. And because we attend service does not mean that Satan will walk by us. As a matter of fact, because you attend service and you are a believer, you are a target of Satan. You are a target because to bring one to him that was once with the Lord becomes, for Satan himself, a pin in his cushion, a flag for him to plant, an idea to say that he's greater than God. How would Satan be able to say that when he takes one from God? We're to maintain our spiritual zeal, not let the fire go out. Zealously professing our faith. Our zeal should be at uppermost. Matthew 24, 12, and 13 reads, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. What scripture is telling us that you will face all types of adversity to you because you are a Christian. And you cannot handle that alone. You need the strength of the Lord and the companionship of your fellow believers in order to handle all of the stress and all of the issues that will come about merely because you profess to be a believer. When a coal, talking about us gathering together, when a single lump of coal in a fire pops out onto the floor, it soon grows cold. As long as it stays with the others, that single lump of coal will remain hot. The analogy being, when one of us steps away from the group, we become cold. But when we stay within the group, of that of the fire coals, we will stay warm and receptive and loving. There's a great lesson here. The more we absent ourselves from the assembly, the colder and more lifeless we become. Eventually, spiritual death will be the outcome. To feed our spiritual appetites, Scripture gives us a recipe here. It starts with Matthew 5. We said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, wanting to do the right thing. Blessed are those who want to do the right thing, to be able to say to themselves, "I have given my all to the Lord." That person will be filled. David expressed this hunger in Psalm 139, 23 and 24 when he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. However, see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me to the way of everlasting." You see, David says, "Search me, O Lord, and if there's any wickedness in me, bear with me till I can see the light." What can diminish this appetite that David had? Luke 8:14 says, "Now the ones that fell among the thorns and those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, choked with the appetite for riches, choked with the pleasures of life." That separation draws us farther and farther away from the Lord. Have the mindset and the attitude, this mindset, this attitude, that you will learn something new or gain some new insight at every available Sunday or Wednesday meeting. If you have that positive attitude and mindset that you will learn something to help fortify you, build you up, or make you a better helper for the Lord, having that mindset. Another reason to not forsake the gathering of the saints is to teach our children and grandchildren the importance of regular attendance at every service. It is extremely important because you are somebody's role model. You are someone, somebody is trying to emulate you. When they see you not attending service, finding reasons to not attend service, they see you do that, and then when they become of age or of understanding, you insist that they go to church. They see the hypocrisy, and you diminish in terms of their respect. Ephesians 6 and 4 reads, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Nourish them by training and instructing." Studies have shown that one is more likely to remain faithful if both parents attend regularly. Both parents attend regularly. Father, mother. Many times men, and I'm speaking to you mainly, we send the children out to church with their mother. And the child thinks to themselves, "Why is it your dad doesn't go?" They may never ask you that question, but I can assure you, they think it. "Why isn't dad going? Why do I have to go?" See, now it becomes a chore to go to church. Dad doesn't go. And men, we profess to be the leaders of the home, and we are. And whatever example we share, whatever example we exhibit, is the one the children will pick up and follow. Barking orders won't do it. "Go with your mama," that won't do it. We have to be living examples of what it is to be a man and father. And that means attending to the word of God, which helps to bring your children up in the way they should come, be brought up. To seek, find the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." So what's the first order of business? First, seek the kingdom of God. To be in league with God, in league with God's thinking. And his righteousness, what God has ordained as being the right thing to do. And all the other things that we spend so much time worrying about will be added to you. But put it first and above all else. One way to show this is by trying our best to be at all services. No one gives us permission to decide what service is more important. If it's a meeting of the saints, and God has ordained that meeting of the saints, we don't get the opportunity to say that one's not as important as this one. To be strengthened, comforted through prayer, we know the effect of fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. James 5:16b says, prayer can comfort us when we're afraid. And having prayer in the comfort with our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones and fellow Christians gives us a sense of security that far outweighs anything else that can comfort us. Relative to attending service, someone was quoted as saying, an empty pew preaches a sermon of defeat. When you go into a house of worship and you see empty pews, it signifies a house of defeat, which means it's incumbent upon everyone to get to work to fill the Lord's house. Here are two people I'm sure God would want us to imitate relative to attendance church services. And let me just explain these two people. Psalm 122:1 said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I felt joy. I was glad. It was an opportunity for me to be with the Lord. And let me share this story about this lady that I read about. An elderly lady who has arthritis and is on crutches was asked, how do you get to every service? You have to be in pain. How do you get to every service? Her response was, my heart gets there first, and then my feet follow. Meaning, with the heart, I'm going to service. My feet will follow the commands of my heart. So we have to get our hearts right. Our heart has to be on Jesus, not on self, not on our predicament in the world, but on the Lord himself. For this woman with arthritis, her philosophy was, my heart gets to church first, which means she's thinking about it. She's thinking about all the good that can come about by going to church. And her feet just follow. Let our hearts lead us to Bible study, and our bodies will follow, surely follow. As I wind down now, our faithful attendance keeps us from rejecting the truth. Our faithful attendance keeps us from the fiery indignation of judgment. When we forsake the assembly, whether it be in the morning, a.m. on Sunday, 8 p.m. on Sunday, or Wednesday service, we are forsaking God, one another, and ourselves. Most Christians say it would be good for people to attend all worship services. Choosing not to assemble with the saints in worship and Bible study is choosing not to give or to receive needed encouragement. Because the wellspring of encouragement should emanate from the house of the Lord. The wellspring of encouragement. And we all get discouraged. The idea is, when you get discouraged, what do you reach for? And many times it causes calamities in many families and to the human spirit and the human body when we reach for the wrong thing to cure discouragement. Choosing not to assemble with the saints in worship is choosing not to give or receive needed encouragement. We encourage each other in many ways, but one of the most important ways is by our faithful attendance. Now, to keep us on message here, let me throw out here what we call a cliffhanger. We will pick up this lesson on Wednesday. Now, why would I say that? I'm not finished. I have other stuff to talk about. But we will pick up this lesson on Wednesday. What time do we meet Wednesday? 7 p.m. So if you want to hear the end of the story, I would encourage you to be here 7 p.m. There's a lot more that I want to share with you, but time does not allow that now. So it's incumbent upon you to do what? Be here Wednesday evening. Immorality is racing at a rapid pace. Our families need to learn the wickedness and destruction that results from sin against them. With that thought in mind, if there's anyone here in the need of prayer or is prepared to dedicate his or her life to Christ through baptism, if there's anyone here, now is the time to come forward as we stand to sing our song of encouragement.
Let us pray. Lord, it has been good to have been in your presence so that our minds could be open to your word and allow your word to penetrate into our hearts and lead to a better life. As we're about to be dismissed, Lord, we ask for your angels to follow us and protect us and bring us back again so we can find out what you have to say to us next time we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.